we will be looking at the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 9 through 23. It's another story of Peter. We look at Peter's life last week. This is another story of Peter before we engage into this particular chapter. Let's pray to God. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for revealing yourself from the Bible, through the Bible, in Christ. Every time when we open the Holy Bible, we know that our hearts are not ready. Many times we see that we are very judgmental. We think differently. And we try to find something that matches to our hearts and need. But Lord, this time we pray that would you please help us to empty our hearts so that we can purely listen to your gospel and focus on your word and giving our hearts to you. So Lord, please speak to us. Please make our hearts humble and ready to accept your teaching from the Bible. Bless me also as I'm preaching this particular text, and so that all the congregation members and we are all under your grace this morning. We pray your son in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verses 9 to 23. It'll be found in your pew Bible from the New Testament. If you want to look at and follow, this is the word of God. Verse 9, the next day as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made an inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate, and then called out to ask whether Simon was called. Peter was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to this house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of brothers from Joppa accompanied him. This is the word of God. Today we'll be looking at another story of a Peter's life that happened into his life. So we'll be beginning from a little bit before what happened to this chapter. We'll go back to this chapter again. We'll be looking at this story in different perspective. Now, it had been exciting days for the disciples. Think about it. For 40 days with Christ, they thought Everything was done and finished when their beloved teacher, Jesus Christ, was crucified on the cross. No hope, no vision at all. But Jesus, as promised, he rose again from the dead. And Jesus visited them again and spent time with the disciples, the 40 days. Now, although it was only 40 days with Christ, now the disciples foretasted the kingdom of God on earth. Really exciting moment, really exciting days and nights. They had been waiting for every time for their entire life, for this moment. The kingdom of God is not far away, but at hand right now. We always want to have that moment with Christ. They were ready to follow Christ again at this time. Their hearts were more than ready than before, because they witnessed it, the resurrected Christ. I'm pretty sure they might have said to each other, "We are now ready to give our life to you and hearts to you, and tell us what to do." Probably they expected Jesus to say with them, you know, something like, "I will stay with you and then I will teach you more things to lead you, to guide you." But unfortunately, he didn't stay with them. He didn't teach like that. And Jesus returned to heaven in front of their own eyes. It was a shocking moment for the disciples to watch him ascending to heaven. Think about it. They might have cried and said, "Lord, please don't leave us alone. Please be with us." Thankfully, Jesus did not leave them alone, but gave them something. We call it the Great Commission, written in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20. I will read it to you. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." After Jesus' resurrection, Peter's life had been dramatically changed. Surely he remembered the great commission that Jesus Christ gave them. He could not forget what he had done. We know that he denied Christ for 3 times. He could not forget what Jesus had asked him. We know that Jesus asked him for 3 times the same question and said, "Feed my lamb, tend my sheep, feed my sheep," to Peter. So when Jesus spoke and told the Great Commission, Peter knew that it was his call. It was his call, burning desire, to go and to make disciples of all the nations. There's no hesitation. And he was more than ready to do everything for Christ at this moment, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he went everywhere to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. When we read the book of Acts from the chapter 1 to the very end of it, we feel that Peter's passion, burning desire. Based on the book of Acts, we see Peter's enthusiasm for the gospel of Jesus Christ, very special. But there is one minor concern for him. He never thought about sharing the gospel with the Gentiles. Then something to happen. Something happened to him. That is our text today. And one day in the afternoon, while he was staying at Simon's house, same name, Simon's house in Joppa, and in the afternoon, that's his prayer time, Peter went up to the roof of the house to pray. Peter was known as a prayer person, his prayer habit, praying every day, his manner of a prayer. Then after spending some prayer time, Peter felt hungry. But unfortunately, our text tells that the meal was not ready. So Peter decided to spend more time with God to pray. Then suddenly an unusual thing happened to him. The Bible describes that he fell into a trance, which means a vision from God. So we can understand that Peter saw a vision from God while he was praying. Now, Peter's vision was like this. While he was praying, he saw heaven opened, which is a very striking moment. As he carefully looked into it, he saw that there was a large blanket, looking like a blanket was coming down from heaven. It looks really weird. And he must have wondered and said, "What is going on? And what is that?" As the big blanket came close to him, and Peter was so surprised by it, because there were all kinds of animals, not just animals, but forbidden animals, dirty animals, and reptiles, and birds. And it seems, you know, his dream turned out to be like a nightmare. It was not a happy dream. As a Jew, he did not want to look at those animals. It's disgusting. He must have said, mumbled, "No, they are so dirty animals. I feel sick and disgusting. I don't want to look at them." It's not the end of the story. You know, a strange sound came from heaven and said, "Hey, Peter, rise. Hey, rise and Peter, kill and eat." Confusing moment for him. Peter was stunned and he could not understand what he just heard. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. What? It is not right. It's not lawful to kill these animals, which is unclean, to eat them. I am not going to do that. We have to know that Peter was right. He should not eat them because they were impure, unclean animals based on Book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verses 4 and 8. You'll look at it later. But Peter was so confused by that time. But one thing that he wanted to do was he did not want to break the law. So he refused to eat them, which were impure and unclean to him. Probably Peter thought, I know, now God is testing me again. Maybe he calls his name again, "Peter, do not give up. You have to pass this exam right now. You have to at this moment." Yes, Peter was right. It was a test, but it was a different kind of test that Peter didn't realize. Although Peter refused to eat them, interestingly, our text says God told him three times, not only one, two, but three times to kill and eat. Verse 16, again, three times. Now, number three is a crazy number for Peter, because he denied Christ for three times. So Peter must have thought, "Oh no, three times again. At this time, I cannot fail. I must pass this exam. I will obey the law. I will follow the teaching of the law." While Peter was struggling and thinking about this weird dream, the voice from heaven said again, "What God has made clean, do not call common." Verse 15. This phrase made him more confused. The NIV translates this same verse like this: "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Peter was completely lost and was puzzled by his dream and all the words that he heard. But he strongly protested. And he must have thought, "How can I eat these impure and unclean animals? No. How can I disobey God's law? No. Then why? Why is God telling me to do this? Why? Why God is telling me to eat these impure The next question must be like this. What should I do? While Peter was wondering about and struggling with this strange vision dream, the men who were sent by Cornelius, an interesting guy, who was a Roman centurion at the time, the three guys knocked on the door and called Peter's name. Based on our text, Peter did not want to go down because he was so confused. He had such a mysterious dream. He wanted to spend more time to figure things out. But this time, another time, the Holy Spirit said, verse 20 and 21, Peter, go down and see them, for I have sent them. If I had this kind of dream, I'll be totally confused. I don't think Peter was hungry anymore. Peter must have asked, why all these kind of things happening today? What's happening? Why these strangers are looking for me? So Peter went down to meet the strangers. When Peter met the people who came from the house of Cornelius, Peter realized that something is different. Peter was able to understand a little bit about his dream, not fully but partially. God is doing something in his life. It was not just a weird dream, but he realized that God has a plan for him. God wanted to speak to him through his vision and people that he had. But the thing is that he did not fully understand all the things what just happened to him. Weird dream, and Gentile people wanted to visit him. Even they want Peter to go to Cornelius, which is a centurion. Well, not a good situation. A Roman centurion. Would you like to go there? Next day, Peter followed the steps of the Holy Spirit said. Next day, he and his friends, I guess his friends means try to protect Peter. They don't know what will happen to him. He and his friends visited Cornelius, went there with lots of doubts and questions in his mind. Even their friends, they are thinking that, oh, Peter, maybe you are going there. Maybe they will kill you. Maybe you should not go there. Maybe you stay with here. Oh, we don't know. Lots of doubts and questions in their minds, but Peter went there. Now, when Peter got there, Peter was so surprised. Not because they're trying to kill him, but so many people were waiting for him. So many people were there with Cornelius waiting for Peter to come. That's our text. By looking at them, they're looking at their eyes and understanding their hearts, Peter clearly, you know, understood and expressed that, oh, this is something happening. But in our text, Peter said that he was not supposed to be associated with these Gentiles. But Peter said that he came because God said so, God's command. So in verse 29, Peter asked them, why do you need me? Why are you guys looking for me? Then the Cornelius, the centurion, shared his vision, told him what happened, which is written in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. We did not read that part. But the centurion basically told all the stories, what happened to him. And he said, God told him like this, send me to Joppa and bring to Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When Peter heard this, why Cornelius sent his man to bring Peter to the Cornelius' house, I'm pretty sure Peter was thrilled. And because finally Peter was able to understand his dream. He was not, but now he was able to understand his dream. First time, he did not understand what God said. What God has made clean, do not call common, which means unclean. Now, as Peter said, it was not right to be associated with any Gentiles because they were impure, they were dirty, they were unclean people. However, at this moment, it seemed that everything made a sense to him. Everything is clear to him. This is God's plan. So Peter said, verse 34 and 35, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. What a powerful verse we just read. I imagine that it was not just a moment for Peter to realize that he had to share the gospel, that his responsibility, that his call to Gentiles, to sharing gospel to Gentiles. But it was the moment that he remembered all the things what Jesus told him. Go, Peter, go and make disciples. All his teachings of Jesus Christ came together piece by piece, and he must have said, yes, our Lord Jesus died not only for the Israelites, for the Jews, but all the people. That's why Jesus gave me the Great Commission. That's why God showed me the vision that I saw. That was the moment. Once he realized that, why God sent him to the house of Cornelius, he could not wait. He could not think again. He could not just look at people and say another things. Rather, he began sharing right away the gospel. Peter boldly preached about Jesus Christ who died and who was his master, and why he died, and what he did, and how he was raised from the dead. And he said, Acts chapter 40, 10, 42, and 43, and he, which means Jesus, commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Personally, I think this is one of the most exciting scenes that I could ever see from the Bible. Think about that. All the Gentiles who didn't know Jesus Christ, never heard about him. Never heard about the forgiveness of their sins through the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were sitting in front of you and waiting for you something new. It was not just a piece of news, but it was the gospel, the good news for them. The name of Jesus Christ was truly the good news for them. This is the moment that we have to find. We have to wait to see every day. And our text did not stop here, giving us more enthusiasm. Once the people heard the gospel, it was not and he was... Peter was not the one moving their hearts and changing their hearts, but our text says the Holy Spirit did something. Verse 44, while Peter was still saying these things, he was saying about Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. We see that this is the steps of amazing things happening. Peter heard, Peter saw God's vision, went to Cornelius one step, looking at all the people waiting for the gospel and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then finally, the Holy Spirit is working in their hearts, moving their hearts. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. What an exciting moment. What an exciting moment. Looking at Peter's story, somehow we see ourselves in his story. As we are Christians, we truly know that the importance of the Great Commission. we learned, we heard since we were in kindergarten. For centuries, preachers and Bible scholars and teachers are emphasizing the value of the Great Commission. This is so important. Go and make disciples and baptize them with the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We have to do that and teach them what Jesus taught us. That's our call. We know that. All the people around the world need to hear this gospel, the good news. We believe that the world needs not something else, not money, not material blessings. The world and its people need Jesus Christ, the Savior. We know that our neighbors, our friends and our family members, even co-workers, many other people around us, they need the Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that. But however, do we really tell them the good news, the story of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Peter shared with the house of Cornelius? Think about this. Peter did not want to associate with the Gentiles. Same reason we do have many reasons not to associate with people around us, not to share the good news, not to share the gospel with people around us. So many obstacles and reasons, excuses. I do have them too. Sometimes we cannot share the gospel because of our broken relationship with people. We don't like them. We don't understand our neighbors and their behaviors, their lifestyles, even our family members, even our friends. Simply, it's a broken relationship. Sometimes we see that we are hesitating to share the good news when we have a chance to do that because of our inner fear. It happens to me. We don't want to argue with people. We don't want to feel like we are losers. We don't want to feel that there's nothing that we can say. Sometimes we think that someone else can do it, not me, not ourselves. Fear, broken relationships. So even favoritism, the NIV says favoritism, are reasons that we cannot tell the good news to people around us. Now, I'm not talking about you today. I have the same reasons not to share the gospel every time. Maybe you think that I'm good at evangelizing people. That's my duty. That's my call to New Hope Church. And the people think that I'm good at doing canvassing, visiting our neighbors to tell them about our vacation Bible school. But to be honest with you, I'm not good at that. I am not good at evangelizing, going out and meeting people, canvassing. Every summertime, whenever I have to go out to the neighbor to invite the children to our vacation Bible school, I have to push myself because I feel fear. Because I know that I cannot do that. Peter did not want to share the gospel with Gentiles. Peter did not feel that the Gentiles needed the gospel. Peter did not know that the Gentiles, they had to know Christ. But God had a different plan. God clearly showed him that God had a completely different salvation plan. And in our text of 34, verse 34 said, God shows no partiality. That is the NIV favoritism. That particular verse reminds us of what John says, that we all know John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, not just only you and me, the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How many times our hearts be thrilled by reading this verse? God's salvation is not for some people, for the Jews or some people, but for everyone, the people who believes in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have to realize that this morning that there are many people like Cornelius and his family out there, those who are waiting for somebody, someone to come to them, to tell them about Jesus Christ. They're eagerly waiting for someone who's coming. They can be our neighbors who live very next to us. They can be your friends, your best friends, who don't know our Lord Jesus Christ. They can be one of our family members who has been living with us for a long time. We must remember, Peter's job was not to persuade their hearts, not to bring theological discussion to them, but one thing, tell them the life of Jesus Christ that we all know. It's not difficult. The life of Jesus Christ. But our text clearly shows that it is the Holy Spirit who finished work. It is the Holy Spirit who moved the hearts of the people. That's why we remember Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, which is a powerful verse, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why? Because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. We have to understand that the name of Jesus Christ himself is the power of the gospel that we will present to the world. What we can do is simply tell the world about the life of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel to the world. And we know that the Holy Spirit will do the rest. That is the power of the gospel. It's not by us. From Peter's story, God challenges our hearts today. What God has made clean, do not call common. There are no impure, no unclean people, but everyone needs the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we do all kinds of ministries, our programs, Gems and Cadets, Coffee Break in Sunday schools, Youth Ministry in Bible Club. That's why we are supporting our missionaries in Jeremy and Krista, Reverend Case and Grammer, and Reverend Todd and Lori in our list, and many others. Surely we have to, maybe we will save lots of money if we don't do these programs, we don't support these programs. But we know one thing, that's our call. We have to support all these things because we know the power of the gospel. Because we know that there are many people in out there like a Cornelius waiting for somebody coming. Someone is coming to tell them about the life of Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you and me that someone is you and me, that someone is our church. Today is Reformation Sunday. As I already told you, it's 497th anniversary. From our education, we know five things, five solas. We know sola scriptura, which is a scripture alone. Sola fide, which is faith alone. We know sola gratia, which is grace alone. We know sola Deo gloria, which means glory to God alone. And we know solus Christus, which is Christ alone. Christ, who is the one that we have to bring to the world. Christ, who is the one who brought to us God's salvation. Christ, who is the one taught us, go to the world and do your job. Christ, who is the one who challenges us today, don't worry about your job. The Holy Spirit will finish. Christ, who is the one who tells us that The salvation is not only for you. There are many people out there looking for something, eagerly waiting for someone to come telling about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Salvation to everyone. Sometimes we see that our church, in our worship service, we have many empty seats in front of you and me. But I believe that we don't have to be discouraged. Because our job is not fill this space with people. Our job is go and tell and share the good news. Share the life of Jesus Christ. Christ alone. Then I'm sure that God will do the rest. So I want to encourage you. Remember what happened to Peter. And listen what God told him to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's really exciting to listen to Peter's life again and again. Because we know that we are like Peter. So many things hinder us not sharing the gospel. Although we received, we have experienced your mercy and grace. Heavenly Father, would you please help us to break down all the walls we have. And help us to remember that if we do, if we go, we tell the life story of Jesus Christ. It's not us. We cannot do that. But you, the Holy Spirit, will do the rest. So that's truly comforting. So help us to find your will and your call for us. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.